You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. Coming up, the state Supreme Court denied Governor Scott Walker oversight over Department of Public Instruction rules affecting schools here in Wisconsin. We'll talk to WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief about the ruling and what it means. First, in the wake of controversial budget cuts from the legislature and a tense atmosphere between UW faculty and staff and administration and the governor, some of UW System's faculty have been actively looking for jobs elsewhere or receiving job offers from institutions looking to lure them away. Our next guest made the choice to leave UW. She recently wrote an opinion piece for the Capital Times about her decision and why she says the state legislature wants the UW system to deliver value like a business, but blocks the tools necessary to make it run like one. Caroline Levine is a professor and chair of the English department of UW-Madison. For now, she's leaving to take a job elsewhere. Caroline, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, why did you decide to leave UW-Madison?
The decision is really complicated, of course, for everybody, and so there isn't one just simple answer. And it is a really fantastic university with so many smart people and exciting projects going on. So it wasn't easy to make the decision. But the constant attacks on the university from the legislature have really had a bad effect on morale. And so I'm one of those who, when I got a call from another university, didn't just hang up right away and say, no, thank you. I listened, and that was the beginning of being wooed away.
In that recent piece we mentioned, you say the legislature, the governor, want the UW to deliver value like a business. First of all, before we go on to the next step in your argument, what do you see as problematic about that? A lot of people would like to see UW run efficiently and give a good payoff to the taxpayers.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that argument on its own terms. If you're actually going to ask us to deliver value like a business, maybe that's what we should be doing. What I would argue is that we're delivering a much better value than most businesses. We're subsidizing the education that Wisconsin kids get at a huge discount, and it's one of the top 50 universities in the whole world. There are tens of thousands of universities in the world. Wisconsin's in the top 50, and students around Wisconsin can go to the University of Wisconsin-Madison for a quarter of the price that they'd pay to go to a private university that might not even be as good. So, you know, if you want us to live up to market values, we're delivering pretty great value.
But then you also write, you make the case that the university system's hands are tied in a number of ways, you say, by laws, by the legislature and by the governor, starting with tuition. Can you talk about that?
Sure, absolutely. So I totally sympathize with struggling families who are having trouble meeting the costs of tuition. So I'd be the last person to say that tuition isn't high. But if the legislature puts a cap on tuition and says, we don't care that prices are going up, prices for, you know, exciting things like, you know, the latest software that engineers can use to do computer modeling, right? You want your future engineers to have that kind of training. But if we can't afford it, or if prices are going up and we have to pay for that for training, then costs have to be cut elsewhere. So costs do go up. They go up, you know, in lots of different ways for lots of different kinds of new technologies. I mean, think about when you go to the doctor, you don't want an x-ray from a 1959 machine, right? You want the latest in MRI technology. It's the same with the university. You want students to be getting the latest in technological education, and that can be expensive. So so if you put a cap on tuition, then there's absolutely no room for the university to move except by cutting somewhere else each time a price goes up.
And the argument from legislative leaders, in some cases from the governor, has been there is a lot of room to cut. There's too much administrative overhead at many university campuses. And the argument that faculty, in some cases, they say overpaid and don't do enough work. How do you respond when you hear things like that?
Well, there's a lot there's so many factual errors in that's what I would really want to respond to. So administrative overhead, that's been one of the claims that's been made over and over again about expenses in universities. I'd want to break that down a little bit. First of all, Wisconsin does not have huge administrative overhead compared to its peers. We're way lower in terms of administrator per student than other institutions. So that's one piece of it. We're doing pretty well in terms of efficiency that way. But the other thing that I would say is that some of what we call administration is like advisors for students. And it's been absolutely shown over and over again that if you have good academic advising for students, they complete their degrees in better time, and that means less debt for students. So it's actually a great investment to pay for some of those kinds of services if you're a parent, or even if you're a taxpayer and you just want to think, you know, our students are getting a good value for their money, then some of that administration you actually want. So, you know, we have these myths about sort of 700 different vice provosts or something. That's not actually what the whole administration is for university. It's all the things that make things run smoothly. So that's one thing. As for overpaid faculty, it's that we can just go to market values and see. So Wisconsin routinely pays less than the mean across the country for faculty. So if you're paying less, you might say, well, that's fine. We're just a poor state. We can't afford better. But you're getting a bargain, so you can't say that the faculty are somehow spoiled and whiny if they're just actually earning less than they would somewhere else. And if somewhere else calls and says, look, we'll offer you more, then you either pay or you say, we can't pay, goodbye. But to say that you're whining is kind of to miss the point of the marketplace.
Talking to Caroline Levine, she is currently professor and chair of the English department at UW-Madison. She has accepted a job, will be leaving the state. Talking about a recent piece she wrote in the Capital Times about the relationship between the university and state elected officials. Another point you make in saying that the university system's hands are tied, and this is one that affects, I think, UW-Madison in particular, is the ability to take out-of-state students or take certain numbers of out-of-state students who pay more tuition as a possible revenue source for UW.
Yeah, so, and this is actually one piece of information that affects the whole state, but via UW-Madison, and that is if Madison takes more people from out of state, so there's, you know, thousands of people applying to Madison from all around the country and all around the world, and we have to turn them away because we have to limit our number of out-of-state students to 28% of the total. But the other campuses at the moment are going to see a decline in student enrollments because of demographics. There are just going to be fewer kids of college age coming up through the pipeline. And that's going to make a hardship for those other campuses if they suddenly have, you know, a dip in enrollment. So if Madison took more out-of-state students, then the campuses around the state could take more in-state students because the ones who weren't at Madison would go to Milwaukee or they'd go to Whitewater or they'd go to Eau Claire. And that would actually even out the outcomes for the state a little bit better. So I think it makes sense just in terms of keeping all of the whole university afloat together to let Madison take more out-of-state students.
A lot of times we talk about, and I've talked about this as a dispute among faculty and administration and the legislature and Governor Walker. How does this all impact students who are at UW system schools right now or in the next 5-10 years?
Sure. So, you know, it's students ultimately where it all matters, right? We want to invest in students for the future of the state of Wisconsin, for the future of the world. We want these kids to be well-trained. We want them to be thoughtful. We want them to understand their world so that they, when they inherit that world, they'll do a good job. And the more you chip away at the classic liberal arts model and say, no, you should just be getting training for this particular career, you know, you need to become a welder, what if there's no need for welders in 5 years? Wouldn't you rather have had an education that prepared you to take on whatever challenges are out there? So I think for, in terms of students, what we want to do is remember that the classic mission of the university is to provide a well-rounded education so that they can really confront all of the challenges that are going to come at them, and that chipping away at the university just means fewer and fewer opportunities for them really to think and explore in a range of ways. So if they're tracked into just vocational tracks, they won't get that education that they really do need. And it is the highly educated who are most likely to be innovating. So if we need solutions to problems, it's people who have engineering degrees, who have law degrees, who have had advanced training in the sciences, who are really going to be able to solve problems for us in the future. So I see it not just about our students, but about the whole society benefiting from that high level of education and training.
As you look ahead with all these changes now, do you see this as something where the pendulum has swung one way for a while, it'll come back, no, not much harm done? Are you worried that there are lasting, unchangeable changes happening here?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I don't have a crystal ball any more than anybody else. But I do think when you have an institution like the University of Wisconsin, which generations have invested in, generations of Wisconsinites have invested in the university so that it became one of the great universities in the world, it's surprising how short a time it can take to destroy that. And then it's pretty hard to build it back up. So if you've got a lot of people who really believe in the Wisconsin mission and are here just thrilled to be in Wisconsin, working for the on behalf of the students and the state, as many of us have been, and then you know, we get the constant message that we're worthless and we're leeches and we're overpaid, we're not going to be as invested in that project anymore. And it's going to be harder and harder to lure people in who really want to serve the state and who really want to be part of this amazing university that the state has built. So I do worry a lot that it will be hard to come back from these attacks. And it's more about morale than almost anything else. It's more about feeling like, you know, you're committing your life to this project you really believe in, and people are saying we couldn't care less. We think you're lazy and unimportant. And so then you think, well, then I'll take my work somewhere else.
And you are, Caroline. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
That's Caroline Levine. She's a professor and chair of the English department at UW-Madison. She's leaving UW-Madison for a job elsewhere after controversial budget cuts to the UW system.